My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience, because Purple mattresses are made with a GelFlex grid. The GelFlex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips, and support in others, like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the GelFlex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
Sometimes people like to ask us, why is it that you guys poke fun at other teams' quarterbacks so often on this show? Because we're petty. We're petty.
I love the people. Every now and then we get somebody that tries to point out some immutable law of life and expects us to adhere to it.
Right.
Hey, guys, on sports radio / streaming.
Lay off.
Hey, guys, why don't you just sit and pray for 4 hours a day and then go do kind acts of charity? Go die. That's what I say to you. You come in here looking for a good human being? Mike, what are you? Why are you listening to sports radio?
That's right, man.
I'm wishing death upon you. Sometimes people think I'm joking when I do. No. I genuinely, we're all going to die. I want you to die sooner.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
That's what I did. This is the guy that's wishing death upon you, and you're asking, why do I take joy in the misery of other quarterback situations?
There you
My
go.
Goodness.
As Tyrion once said on Game of Thrones, if you've come here for justice, you've come to the wrong place.
Yeah, get a grip, man. Yeah, man. Understand the way life works sometimes.
All right, and
petty AF.
And for the petty Houstonian, yesterday was a big day because Bryce Young benched in Carolina. We petty cast this thing, man. Here was Dave Canales, the head coach of the Carolina Panthers, on Sunday, following the Panthers' 26-3 loss to the Los Angeles Chargers.
Did you, Dave, ever consider subbing in Andy Dalton for Bryce Young, given the offensive inefficiency?
Bryce is our quarterback. I'd love to see this thing just continue to take the next steps offensively right now.
Will he start next week?
Bryce is our quarterback. We're going to just continue to shore up and fix the things we need to fundamentally from a scheme standpoint. All those things. These are all valuable reps. These are all valuable games. We'll learn a lot from this game, and hopefully we'll take another step this week.
Yeah, okay. The people wondering, I had heard that clip. I had watched that press conference before the decision was announced yesterday for them benching Bryce. And a lot of people had not. So there were a lot of people guessing as to, and still are, a lot of people guessing, is this David Tepper, the owner? Is this Canales? I think if you watch the press conference on Sunday and you see Canales saying that, it's like very clear Dave Tepper got to Canales at some point between that press conference and Monday afternoon and said, yeah, this kid's done. we're moving on. We screwed up.
Hey, listen, I'm about to turn you into a fraudulent liar, okay?
Right.
But don't mention me in the press conference or anything.
Yeah.
When you look at this point, if you go and accept that job with Dave Tepper, call it what it is.
It's on you.
You're taking the money.
Yeah.
You know, like you're a woman that's convinced yourself that you're actually in love with the billionaire that you're about to marry. He's got a history. Are there some unexplained murders of various other women in his past? Sure, but it definitely wasn't him because he told me it wasn't.
Right.
Did you see how rich he was? That's what you're doing.
Yep.
You are a money grubbing QB hoe if you take that next job.
Which I don't judge. That's a lot of money. It's life-changing money. If you want to go do it, go do it. You're not doing anything illegal, but you are sabotaging your future as a coach. You're putting a ceiling on what you're ever going to be
Accept you back at the nunnery, I'll tell you that much.
That's true. There are certain places you can't ever go again. Yes.
We have a higher moral standard on this show, Sean. I've long said that. We try to do things ethically and never wish death upon anybody.
The most moral show in Houston, yes.
That's what gets the clicks.
Oh, completely, completely. Here was Bryce Young on Sunday. They were booing in Carolina. The few fans that were still there were booing Bryce Young. Here's Bryce Young on hearing the boos.
Bryce, a lot of boos in the home stadium today. Is that something you hear and something that bothers you?
I respect the passion that the city has for the team. So, obviously that's part of it. So I respect the passion of the city.
Mm. Okay.
I respect the passion.
Yeah.
The athletes are in a tough position to ever give their true feelings on people booing or anything. It's not even if you're doing really, really well, people don't like being admonished for anything.
Right.
So I would think that modern athletes might be better accustomed or better prepared for the boos because they've grown up seeing so much hate on social media, especially star players. So it's not any surprise to them that, like, wait a second, there's an ugly side to fandom?
There's anonymous ugliness? People who will never say this to my face or booing?
Wait a second. Yeah. People would be mean when there are no consequences?
Nobody told me this came
goodness,
with life.
They
handed me a life manual and there was no chapter about this.
Yeah, I think the bubble of playing in college sports that used to be, that is no more. Because all these kids have seen the ugly side of it. Maybe they haven't heard it specifically as booze or what have you. But I think that Bryce Young has probably got other things to worry about than whether or not people are booing.
Apparently, it wasn't just the booing from the crowd. Apparently, there was frustration boiling over on the sidelines with Bryce himself. Some of his teammates, he was asked about that.
Bryce, we saw some frustration boil over on the sidelines around the third quarter. Can you explain what happened in that moment and, you know, what's leading to a lot of this frustration that seems to be going on with this team?
We're all competitors. We all want to win. Obviously, again, not the start we wanted, and it's frustrating. But, you know, at the end of the day, on the sidelines, just trying to get it right for the next series, for the future, for whatever it is. Always want to be constructive, make sure that we're communicating. It's not back and forth of our pointing fingers. Just want to talk through things. And again, we have emotions, all competitors. But at the end of the day, that's what we're trying to do on the sideline.
I sent you the video of this press conference, the one that we pulled this audio from, Seth, yesterday. And you know I've said this before, both on the air and to you privately. Bryce needs a PR agent that will explain to him the optics of how he looks at these press. He already looks like a little kid. He can't be showing up with sleeveless T-shirts. Deshaun Watson has a ton of issues. Showing up looking like an adult at a press conference is not one of them. You know what I mean? C.J. Stroud, same thing. Like, Deshaun shows up at a press conference where he sucked in that game, but, man, dude's got on a nice suit, and he looks the part. Bryce has a sleeveless T-shirt, which only accentuates the fact that when he gets uncomfortable, he starts scratching his arms and holding his arms and cupping his shoulders and hitching his shorts. He's got so many nervous tics, man. He's a mess right now. So at least he doesn't Andy Dalton gets those press conferences now. Bryce doesn't have to do them anymore.
Some of the frustration that people were talking about, Adam Thielen was wide open and multiple times and just didn't get the ball. And he was pacing around on the sideline. He looked very, very frustrated. I do think that, body language matters for quarterbacks. I think sometimes people probably overestimate or harp too much on body language at other positions. At quarterback, it matters. You're the captain. You know, you got to be able to stand up there and exude confidence no matter what the situation is. And I don't think even in good times, as a boy amongst men, Bryce Young doesn't seem like that guy.
No.
It's not just his stature. That's where I'm almost kind of like, dude, where is get a little bit of that little guy bravado. You know, the guy that's a badass. He might be 5'8", but you'd never fight him because, you know, he's got that kind of that weird confidence and psycho to him that he's going to figure out a way to beat your ass. Be more like that guy.
There was a viral video from, like, I don't know, like 10 years ago of some little dude that walked into a New York bagel shop that was like 5'2" and ready to fight everybody in there. Bryce needs to go watch that. I Google it. I promise you'll find it, Bryce. Go find that. I want to get to the AFC South here in a second, but we would be remiss not to go back and look at week one, snap one of Bryce's career and listen to, I believe it's Anish Shroff is the play-by-play guy, or Anish.
Anus?
A-N-I-S-H. He's actually Andre Ware's broadcast partner for college football on ESPN. He's the radio play-by-play guy for the Panthers. Here's what it sounded like with Bryce Young taking the field in his debut back in 2023.
And now we get to see the start of this new era. Bryce Young in the huddle, bounce of youth, shiny helmet, gives him a seraphim's glow, eyes as wide as the Sphinx. And if he is what this franchise and this fan base believes he can be, the hour of the Panther begins with this shotgun snap.
Yeah. Spoiler alert, he was trash.
That's a guy that's done a lot of acid, man.
That's a guy who's trying too hard.
He's just like 18 metaphors in three,
dude. In bounce in of youth, seraphim's glow. Man, that guy, how many times did that guy rehearse that in the mirror before he got to the game that day? Oh, boy. All right, so that's Bryce.
I feel bad for Bryce Young. I feel
it's not how you do a petty cast. You know, you can feel bad at 8:20. Not now. Bryce Young.
I forgot we were doing petty cast.
Petty cast, yeah. All right, this will be easy because this is the
AFC. He needs to come back. You know what he did? He needs to dye his hair, dye his beard red or something. Like, do something.
Yeah.
Can he grow a beard? He probably can't grow a beard. Yeah. That's part of the problem.
He's got a beard, but you need like a full beard. Well, he's got the a little tuft of hair on his chin.
And that makes it worse. That's like the kid that's trying to grow a mustache.
No, it looks fake. It looks fake.
Right.
Yeah, it looks
fake. When the kid outside the 7-Eleven that's just trying like hell to get those few whiskers.
Yeah. Let's get the AFC South. Let's get petty about the AFC South. Anthony Richardson, they're all 0-2. And they're all 0-2 with really, really crappy quarterback play. I'm going to get petty about this. This doesn't have anything to do with a quarterback. Here was Chris Ballard, GM of the Colts, the night that Leiatu Latu fell to them to the 15th pick overall. First defensive player in the draft. Edge rusher for the Colts.
We had the best rusher in the draft.
I'm so much smarter than everybody else. We got the best defense. He's got one tackle in two games.
I wonder why the best pass rusher in the draft was available at this position.
Thank you.
And nobody else had drafted him yet.
That's
could it possibly be that there just weren't that many good pass rushers in the draft? Texas City, you can't let him back in.
No.
It's just I know people from Texas City. They don't talk like that.
Yeah, no. Best defensive player in the draft.
All right, we're back to the petty cast.
Totally, dude. Everybody's stupid except me.
Nobody else was smart enough to do all this. Did you see that throw Anthony Richardson had?
Would you?
One of the nearly 50% that he... Oh, if he's so bad, how come he completed nearly 50% of his passes?
Exactly. There you go. That's petty as it gets right there. All right, let's get to the Jags. They're 0-2 as well. They named their stadium for the day Trevor Bank Stadium on Sunday. It's usually Everbank Stadium. They've got some marketing agreement with Trevor Lawrence now, the most overpaid quarterback in the NFL. He went 12 for 30 and lost to Deshaun Watson in the battle of two former Clemson quarterbacks. Here was Trevor Lawrence after the game.
Trevor, how stunned are you by the offensive performance in the last six quarters?
Yeah, I mean, we suck right now, so I don't... pretty shocked. You know, obviously we had a great offseason, great training camp, and we got to figure it out. So we know we got a good group, we got good players, and we can be a really good offense, but clearly we're not. So everybody's got to take accountability, look in the mirror, and fix it. You know, I got to play better. I'm the leader of this offense. It's on me. You know, the wideouts got to play better. The line's got to play better. Running back's got to play better. Got to coach better. I mean, it's everybody, honestly.
All right, good enough. We got you, Trevor. You're going 0-3 this week.
In talking about accountability, you couldn't even get the word out properly.
Right.
That's Trevor Lawrence, my God. But I can just imagine, though, the pitches for that bank.
Oh, yeah.
Hey, have you come across a financial windfall that you'll definitely never get again? You want to be sure you preserve that money. I got to get him talking to Trajan Wealth, you know? Yes. He can speak for Trajan Wealth. Yes. Like, hey, look, you know, you get an inheritance, you win the lottery or what have you. Don't be like so many others that have squandered it. Be sure you preserve it for the future. Dude. And for future generations.
Being a Jags fan right now, I would be terrified. That's your guy, man. That's your guy for the next however many years. All right, last one in division. Will Levis was terrible once again. I love this segment. Will Levis was terrible once again on Sunday. He duck pin bowled a ball to a wide receiver laterally, backwards, and it ended up getting scooped up by the Jets. I mean, they were in striking distance, and the visual from that game that will be indelibly etched in everybody's brain moving forward was new head coach Brian Callahan of the Titans saying to Will Levis, "What the F are you doing?" as he's coming off the field. Here's Brian Callahan explaining his emotions in that moment.
I think the camera caught it pretty clear, if I had to guess. So, I was upset. It was dumb. It was the same exact thing he did last week, and he cost us points in the red zone. And that is what it is. He's a grown-up, and he knows better. And so, you know, I was really irritated that he cost us 3 points in a game that we probably needed it.
I don't know. I can't remember a head coach actually calling something dumb from his quarterback.
I can't, but if it were, I would say that Bill Callahan, his dad, might have done that back in the day.
Growing
the apple
up,
didn't
probably,
fall far from just, the tree when he was a younger. He was a head coach at one time.
I know. I wonder, man. I mean, this is the thing with Will Levis. This is why it's interesting. In the pre-draft, things had gotten ugly for a while where people would just put out anything and everything from anonymous scouts and quotes about guys' personality or character or anything. So now you got to read between the lines a little bit more. And you know who it was with Josh Rosen. Nobody would ever come right out and say it, but it sounded, from what I could tell, people kind of thought he was a D-bag.
Yes.
You know,
yes,
they just kind of felt like he was a D-bag.
Uh-huh.
But nobody wanted to be the Nolan Naraki that lost your career over it.
Right.
And I think with Will Levis, it's just, that's the tea leaves that I read. And some of this stuff, when I talk about the stupid hits that he takes, I've had a few people say, well, Seth, I mean, wouldn't you credit him with trying to grind out extra yardage? No, because you have to understand, you have to be a connoisseur of Will Levis' stupidity the way I am. It will be 2nd and 15, and he'll be 3 yards past the line of scrimmage, and he'll take a hit to get an extra yard or something to make it 3rd and 12 instead of 3rd and 13.
Yeah.
It's idiotic. He is an idiot. He's a moron. Yeah. And it's fascinating.
Ben's dying right now. how many different ways you could call Will Levis stupid. Hey, let's get one more in here.
He's dense.
Yeah, yeah. Let's get Ben.
He's
like
got pudding for brains.
We got
thick in the head, this guy.
Income
poop.
He got the guy doesn't have the sense.
That's Ballard calling somebody stupid.
We got the best defensive player. Bo Nix. Here's Bo Nix, Denver quarterback, getting asked, hey, take us through that interception.
Bo, can you take us through the interception in the end zone?
Chop back, do it to the other team.
Yeah. I respect that.
I kind of like that, actually. Yeah. Actually, the Bo Nix, you have a 1 week reprieve from the Pettycast based on that answer, Bo Nix.
Well, hold on a second. Let me set the scene for you. Give you the down and distance, exactly.
Right.
Game situation. I dropped back.
I
had to, at that moment, I felt like I had a Seraphim's glow.
Yeah.
My eyes were as wide as the Sphinx.
Bounce
and then
you.
I threw it to the freaking defender.
Right.
Are you dense?
Right.
Are you Will Levis?
Yeah.
Did you see what happened? That's what happened.
All right. Hey, let's take a look ahead at the Minnesota Vikings. A little factoid about the Vikings and the Texans, and I'm surprised as few people know about this as I was kind of hearing around the dial yesterday, but we've got that for you. a look ahead, first look ahead at the Vikings in a matchup I hope we see in this game a lot. That is coming up next.
Nothing is more important than getting a good night's sleep, and when you don't get the rest you need, your whole day is thrown off. That's why it's so important to choose the right mattress. Sleeping on a Purple mattress is truly a unique experience because Purple mattresses are made with a gel flex grid. The gel flex grid is an innovative material that moves with your body to relieve pressure in areas like knees and hips and support in others like your back. It feels soft where you want it and supports where you need it. Purple mattresses instantly adapt when you move. You don't sink in and get stuck like with memory foam. And thanks to over 1,400 air chambers in the gel flex grid, you will sleep cooler on a Purple mattress. Purple has a wide variety of mattresses, from the original Purple mattress to the Restore Hybrid Collection that combines GelFlex Grid with coils, and the Rejuvenate Luxe Collection, the height of luxury, with over 112,000 five-star reviews to prove it. Visit purple.com to find the perfect purple for you and enter code PODCAST10 to get 10% off.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Explaining football to the friend who's just there for the nachos? Hard. Tailgating from home like a pro with snacks and drinks everyone will love? An easy win. And with Instacart helping deliver the snack time MVPs to your door, you're ready for the game in as fast as 30 minutes. So you never miss a play or lose your seat on the couch or have to go head-to-head for the last chicken wing. Shop game day faves on Instacart and enjoy $0 delivery fees on your first three grocery orders. Offer valid for a limited time. Other fees and terms apply.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price, too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for Blinds. I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken care of.
It took forever, and the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Payne and Pendergast with you. Good to be with you on a Tuesday.
You got that was good advice for me. That's probably good for the kids as well.
Oh,
Sean.
Yeah? You want me to give
I
it
said,
to
I have a hard time whenever I have to, every now and then I get suckered into writing something for somebody.
Yeah.
And the hardest thing I have with writing these days is that as I'm writing, I know that I could make it that much better with some factoid that, like, oh, I should throw in a stat here. And then I'm off to the internet. And then 3 hours later, I come back to what I'm trying to write. So when you write, because you write a lot, do you pretty much, you have like the material that you're going to write that article with, and that's it. You're not going to go like, you're like, I've got this, and I'm going to write the article, and then I'm done.
I do, because a lot of what I write crosses over with what you and I talk about. I use a lot of what we use on the show, and I'll turn it into an article, or I'll take an article that I write and I'll make it a segment on the show. So there's a lot of overlap. The thing for me, that it's not so much a stat, but like there's a lot of times where I write, and for those who don't know, I write an article a day for the Houston Press, mostly about football, but some baseball. And the hard part for me is that I'll know that there's some sort of video out there that can really make the article pop that supports it. That's the hard part for me, because I go get the video off of Twitter, and I'll go to Twitter, and the first tweet that I'll see before I can go find the video has another topic that, oh, I can use that for the show. And now all of a sudden I'm culling topics for the show, and I'm like, oh, crap, I meant to write this article and finish it by 11:30. You know, that kind of thing.
You almost want to go back to the days where it's like, okay, these are my source materials, and this is what I'm writing, and that's it.
Yes.
Because you could write a novel about every damn topic out there in the world. I could write a novel about my pinky. It's hard, Sean. It's hard. There's just so much information out there.
About your pinky.
Well, it's been a lot of places.
Okay, there we go. And scene.
Written, it's going to be an earth-shattering work.
I can't wait for the movie.
From the perspective of Seth Payne's pinky.
We made a movie about the book on Seth's pinky.
These calluses, the rent, these calluses are earned and the rent is due every day.
That's right. Thanks, JJ. Here's D'Amico Ryans on his early impressions of the Texans' opponent this weekend, the Minnesota Vikings.
Minnesota, good man, really good team. They're coached really well. Their defense is playing great. I think they've held opponents to, I think, under 25 points so far. So their defense is playing really lights out. Offensively, they played well yesterday, had some big explosives. See, they're playing well together. So we'll get further. We'll get more into those guys as we go throughout the week. But 2-0 team, and we know Minnesota is always a tough place to play. Like, that crowd there is always, they're always loud. They make it challenging on us from an offensive perspective. So already know going into it, we have to be on it with our cadence. We have to be on it with our pre-snap communication all the way across the board.
Yeah, these are two games in. These are two teams that are pretty similar in how they've won their first two games. They've gotten it done more so with defense than offense. The quarterbacks have been efficient. You know, C.J. Stroud is a better quarterback than Sam Darnold. But Sam Darnold, I'll give him credit. I'm not a huge Darnold guy. He's been good these first two games. They're both 2-0. This is one of the, I don't want to say under the radar, like, this is one of the better games of the weekend, I think, as we go into week three.
It really is. Yeah. I think Brian Flores' defense is for real. You know, we get to see Jonathan Grenard again, playing on a very good defense. So
Blake Cashman,
that's right. So there are a lot of, now it's not like Grenard and Cashman are guys where you're like, yeah, screw those guys. I like both those guys.
Right.
And those guys kind of aren't the screw that guy type of thing.
No.
So I don't expect any juicy tidbits about how D'Amico has wronged them or something.
No, they both got paid. D'Amico
did pretty well for them,
right?
So I think that the biggest thing, honestly, is that, hey, we've seen this movie before. Kubiak-Shanahan style system where a quarterback, you get the absolute best out of a quarterback, whether it be Matt Schaub or Sam Darnold or whomever else. And Sam Darnold right now is averaging 9 yards per pass attempt.
Yeah, that's,
I think, more. A little, like 9-plus yards per pass attempt. He's got a guy like Justin Jefferson where they're going to try to run the ball, take their play action, deep shots, all of that stuff. And especially early in the season, you don't necessarily have a whole lot of film on them. I guess you do have film on this offense and what they like to do with their play calling. But this, when it comes to marquee matchups, really the two things are Derek Stingley and Kamari Lassiter versus Jefferson. And maybe they shadow Jefferson with Derek Stingley.
Yeah.
But then also just Brian Flores versus Bobby Slowick. Flores is a longtime defensive coordinator and coach in the league. And he's going up against Bobby Slowick, still a young offensive coordinator.
Yeah, a one-time Texans finalist for the head coaching job here. I know there's a lot of Texan fans out there that know this. I was surprised how many didn't. But the Vikings are one of two teams the Texans have never beaten, I believe. I believe the other one's the Eagles. I don't think the Texans have ever beaten the Philadelphia Eagles before. The Texans are 0-5 all-time against the Vikings. There is one massive disturbing trend with all five of these games. In all five of these games, the Texans have trailed by double digits at halftime. So these are games, and again, these go back to when you were a player, Seth. You played them in 04. I don't know if you remember the game, but Dante Culpepper threw for about 400 yards in that game.
Yeah, we were in the old dome. I think it was the last game in the old dome.
Oh, the old Metrodome?
Yeah, I think it might have been the last game there before it deflated.
Randy Moss was on the team back then.
I'll tell you what, just whether it's the new stadium or the old, it gets loud up there. It gets really, really loud, and it can get ugly really fast if you're not on your P's and Q's on offense. So I remember when I was in Jacksonville, I was injured at the time, so I watched this atrocity on top. I don't think I even watched the second half as a player on the team. But they went up. The Jaguars went up and started Jonathan Quinn, the rookie out of Middle Tennessee State or someplace.
Oh, boy.
And that poor kid, and that was back when they had the Vikings had some freakishly good pass rushers.
Yeah.
It got really, really ugly and really, really loud in a primetime game. So it's a tough place to play.
Yeah, tough place to play. So that's
all right. I remember this. We had to start a rookie offensive lineman who was awful. And because somebody got injured and this rookie came in and there was film on him. So John Randall and the rest of them knew how bad he was.
Dude.
And John Randall started barking as soon as this offensive lineman came on.
His pee streaming down the poor kid's leg.
John Randall just like barking like a crazed dog.
Oh my God.
So excited. They were getting in fights over who could line up over this kid.
Oh my God. They're 5 losses, 0-5, 5 different quarterbacks for the Vikings. This is the lineup of quarterbacks that have beaten the Texans. Dante Culpepper, Gus Frerotte, Christian Ponder. Remember that one, 2012? That if the Texans beat the Vikings at home in 2012, this is 2 weeks after the Letterman jacket game. If they beat the Vikings at home in week 16, they clinch a bye in the first round, and they lost 23-6 to Christian Ponder. Sam Bradford in 2016, which was kind of the first game where you're like, ooh, Brock Osweiler might be bad at football. He might not be very good at football. And then Kirk Cousins in the final game of the Bill O'Brien era. The Bill O'Brien metaphorical beheading game was the Minnesota Vikings at NRG Stadium.
The worst thing about that game was, remember the picture that he took with Dom Capers and Gary Kubiak on the field beforehand? It was all three coaches. At that point, there had only been 3 coaches for the Texans, and all 3 of them were on the field because both Capers and Kubiak were coaching for the Vikings. They had a nice picture beforehand.
Dude.
That felt like some Game of Thrones Red Wedding stuff right there, man.
Dude.
I could imagine the McNairs like watching that picture and being like, what are we doing here? That's just,
who knew the number of head coaches in Texans history would double over the next 3 years? From 3 to 6, real fast.
I need to go find that photo of those 3 guys standing together and just make it, you know, use the Instagram filter. It looks like a grainy old one from the 1960s or something.
Yeah. Yes, yes.
Back when times were more simple and innocent.
Yep. So, yeah, man, 0-5, trying to get off the schneid against these Minnesota Vikings. Should be a whole lot of fun. People enjoyed the Pettycast. You guys are killing me this morning. Thanks for the laughs, fellas. Someone on here said, guys, y'all stop. And I'm like, oh, is this one of those guys that doesn't like it when we make fun of quarterbacks? And the very next text from him or her says, I am rolling. Ha, 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 ha. So people enjoy
that. I was wondering, you know, that some of the times, you reminded me during the Pettycast to really embrace the Pettycast and tap into the most petty and what worst aspects of my personality.
Yes.
We need to be more like that. I gotta forget that sometimes, you know, we talked about, you don't have to be talking about EPAs and algorithms all the time. Sometimes we just need to display the ugly things that people want to say or can't say or what have you. Just really just expose our innards to the world.
There you go. Yes.
There was a part of me, I was fighting it, man, even, I don't know if I want it. There were frustrating things happening in the second half of the Texans game on Sunday night. They were making it last longer. and longer and longer. And at one point, I felt really bad about myself where I was like, would you just move on with the broadcast?
Oh.
All right. I know. You? Yes. He's fine. Okay?
Yeah, okay.
He looks fine.
I was going to say.
Just roll the poor guy off the field and start playing football. It's not a neck injury.
Blink.
Yes. I feel awful for the old guy that he fell down. Could you please just roll him off the field and get going? I'm guessing he was saying that. I'm guessing that the poor man from the chain crew that fell over was like, all right, guys, come on. Can we move this along, please? This is a little bit overkill.
My favorite part is that 15 seconds ago, you were still dancing around the fact that you were talking about moving the chain guy. And finally, you reached a point where you were like, no, get a spatula and get this guy off the field.
I wanted to jump in. Because I felt bad for him.
Yeah.
And yet at the same time, honestly, I
wasn't
felt
on the field.
I felt empathy for him and that I've been in that situation where you have a little bit of a scare, but then they got to follow medical protocol and you're kind of like, oh boy. I mean, like, all right, is this really all that necessary? I feel like I'm putting God, the worst part about all that was Collinsworth saying, oh, it's a brotherhood, this league of ours.
Chain
guy? People really care. And I'm like, okay, Collinsworth, just settle the hell down.
The guy's a Walmart greeter during the week, and he holds the chains on a Sunday. What the hell are you talking about, Collinsworth?
The brotherhood.
Brotherhood?
I feel like Collinsworth, somewhere in that broadcast, he said that he's played every single position in the game of football, and I want to fact check that.
Yes.
I don't know if he's ever been a nose tackle.
Yeah, your regular Mauricio Dubon. Thanks, Collinsworth. All right, Payne and Pendergast with you. Hey, speaking of the Astros, all right, 12 games left, 4-game lead. How close are we to the best version of this group of Astros? I think there's still a couple more boxes that need to get checked here over the next week and a half. We'll discuss coming up next. You shouldn't feel bad, Seth, about your take on the chain guy that fell backwards on his head on Sunday and had to be carted into the locker room.
Have to put it that way.
You shouldn't feel bad. Well, I was just trying to be a little descriptive there. But it appears as though the text page, which is never a cesspool of hate or impatience.
Never.
Ever. Agrees with you on that.
It wasn't like we were criticizing that poor man himself.
No.
It was just the way it felt during that second half when it was the game after a really fun and entertaining first half. It turned into molasses on a winter's
yes,
day.
It was molasses.
It was just, man, it was one thing after the other. It was just slogging along, and then there was a stoppage, and which was more time for Collinsworth to talk. And,
Are you not a Collinsworth guy?
I like him. I used to really not like him. He used to be really kind of snarky and kind of just cynical. Then he changed, and I liked him. But now I feel like... I feel like he phones it in a lot of ways, partly because he's involved in PFF, and I think he thinks that PFF preps him for games better than it actually does. I don't like it when I don't like it when the color commentator obviously hasn't done the same research that other guys have.
Yep.
Like Charles Davis or some of these other guys, when those guys watch a game, sometimes they'll say things where I'm like, God, I'm kind of embarrassed, you know what, that I didn't think of that or I didn't know it when this is the team that I talk about all week long.
Mm-hmm.
Like they do a really – I like Adam Archuleta for the sake. I think Adam Archuleta gives you some real insight into the way teams operate and everything. The guys that phone it in annoy me because they're not telling me a damn thing. I was waiting for Collinsworth to say something about the fact that Derek Stingley was tracking DJ Moore. I'm like, why are they not talking about that? Charles Davis or Adam Archuleta would have said that.
Yeah.
You know, even Tony Romo, who doesn't do his research, I think would have noticed that. But yeah, so he annoys me a little bit.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Collinsworth's a former receiver too. Like he should be in tune with that.
Make me feel drunk. You know what drops my panties these days? Or not drunk, dumb. Make me feel dumb.
Right.
That's what drops my panties. Just tell me something that I'm like, oh,
weird
crap,
fetish,
that's a really
man.
Good point, and why didn't I think of that?
That is a weird fetish. Brandy, make me feel stupid. Oh, yeah. How close are we? Astros lose last night 3-1 to the Padres. Padres are a pretty hot team right now. They're only 3.5 back of the Dodgers in the NL West. They'd be a playoff team right now in the NL. How close are we to the best version of the Astros? They're a healthier team now than they were month or two ago when they're missing Verlander, missing Tucker.
Yeah.
There were other little bumps and bruises along the way. How close are we to the best version that we're going to get of this year's Astros?
Do you think? The big questions would be, I think, annoyingly, all health-related, whether it's Altuve, Bregman, Kyle Tucker, all those guys, how are they going to fare on through late September and on into October? Verlander, I'm feeling better and better about. He's not there yet, but we've seen him multiple times in his long, long career fix little mechanical issues after coming back from injury and then be just fine. So I feel good about him. It's really, if you want to be explosive and high-powered and threatening, it's, are those guys who are some of your very best players on the team, how are they going to fare through the rest of this month and on into a playoff run? That's what makes me nervous.
Yeah.
So what do I say? I would say 70%. They're 70% there of this version of the Astros?
I think they're close. For me, at least, they're closer to 100%. The biggest questions for me, you nailed it on the health, and I forgot about Bregman because Bregman's still playing every day, but you're right. The gremlins in the elbow is an issue.
Those gremlins don't just disappear.
Right,
you know?
Right. They're not. Those gremlins are not Astro fans. They're neutral. They're just like, we're just here to hurt his elbow. Sorry about it. We're just here to hurt his elbow. So Bregman... Tucker getting back to peak Tucker, but Tucker hit a home run over the weekend or in one of these games. It was over the weekend. Pinch hit home run. So that was good to see. So good to see Tucker get that power stroke back. Presley is a bit of a concern for me right now because I think Espada is going to go very by the book in close games in the playoff. And the book for the Astros right now says you throw Abreu out there in the seventh, you throw Presley out there in the eighth, and you throw Hader out there in the ninth. And Presley, after a stretch of extended extreme reliability, has hit a by his standards, a pretty rough patch here over the last month or so. So that's
With Altuve, it's just the little scare with the side muscle or the oblique or whatever. I guess it's just that he's had very few off days this year, and as he gets up there in age, we've seen him play banged up in the playoffs before or kind of beleaguered. And it put enough of a scare into me that, all right, we got to keep that in mind, that some of these aging guys, it's not as simple as like, oh, yeah, they're the playoff Altuve. He'll show up. He'll be fine.
The interesting thing that they could be facing here, the last two series of the seasons, they get done with the San Diego Wednesday, and then they head into the last 10 games of the season. They play four at home against the Angels. The Angels are bad. They just swept them in Anaheim. I would be disappointed with anything less than 3 out of 4 against the Angels and hopefully sweep that series. What gets interesting, Seth, is the next three games are against Seattle at home. That's the last home series of the year. So how close is Seattle going to be to the Astros? And then the final series of the year is at Cleveland. And right now, it may not even matter because the Astros are 5.5 back of the Guardians right now to try to catch them to get a bye in the first round of the playoffs. The Astros have never, in a normal length season, had to play during this run of dominance since 2017. They've never had to play a wild card game or a wild card round before. They did in the COVID year, but everybody had to. What gets interesting is if they get themselves within three games of Cleveland, you know, where they can catch the Guardians and avoid that, do you go all in doing that? Because if you go all in doing that, you may very well be jacking up your rotation for the wild card round if you don't accomplish your goal against the Guardians, you know?
Here's what I think. I think the problem with the wild card round is that it's just random. I mean, you could have the best team. Let's say hypothetically, the Astros hadn't gotten off to a horrible start and they'd played 500 baseball over the course of those months or what have you, and then they go on a tear. And yet they're sitting there at the three seed. But boy, the team is really, really strong. I don't care if you've got the best team in the history of baseball. You get thrown into a three-game series, and a lot of it just becomes dumb, stupid, random luck.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that you got to go all out. Because of that three-game series, you got to go all out to do everything you can, because that's your best opportunity of – it might be the most certainty or control you have over actually advancing past that round is if you don't have to participate in it at all.
So you would go – what you're saying is if you can catch Cleveland at the end of the season, you go all out to try to avoid – the wild card round and catch Cleveland? Yeah, gotcha.
Okay. And then because then, if it's successful, then then obviously you're going to be right back to starting. I think I feel like it's putting the cart ahead of the horse too much if you start thinking like, well, no, we want to be sure that we're good
ready for the wild
duration
card
of everything. And I'd say no. The best way to – you have in the regular season, especially, if you have a good team, your best chance of – the odds would probably be your chance of getting that wild card, depending on how hard it is. Like, you have more control over that than you do in a three-game series where that team is throwing their best out at you.
Yep, it's going to be an interesting choice for Joe Espada. I think they would go for it. I think like you laying up over those last three games. I don't see that.
It's bad juju too.
Yeah,
I feel like that's a kind of thing that permeates. You go back to the Giants trying to beat the Patriots in the last regular season game, and people thought like, why are you doing that? Because the Giants couldn't improve their positioning or anything back in 2007. But Coughlin said, no, we're going to go and beat them, and they didn't beat the Patriots. The Patriots went undefeated in the regular season.
Played them well,
but
though.
Guys on that Giants team, after they won the Super Bowl versus the Patriots, said that did something for them. It just kind of injected a kind of juice into them that they don't think they would have had otherwise.
Hunter Brown tonight on the Hill. Hunter Brown trying to bounce back from one of his lesser starts since he's become Hunter Brown, capital H, all caps Hunter Brown back in May. All right, let's do it. Next segment. I predicted earlier the five power rankings that we use on this show when we power rank the power rankings. I predicted earlier Texans going to be top five in all of them. We will find out. 9 a.m. Power ranking of the power rankings is next.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Why does this room look amazing? What'd you change?
Oh, I just got these custom shades from Blinds.com. It's all online, so it's really easy. Great price too.
Ugh, I remember shopping for blinds.
I waited around all day just to get a quote.
Hi, sorry I'm late. I know you said just the bedroom, but what do you feel about
this? I feel like I had to say yes, just to get rid of her.
All right, just go ahead and sign here and we'll get everything taken
care of. It took forever. And the worst part, hidden fees. How about you?
I chatted with my Blinds.com design consultant on my time, got free samples, and it was all super high quality at a great price. Plus, they make it easy to DIY or add installation like I did.
Blinds.com sounds way better.
Way better. And everything comes with their 100% satisfaction guarantee. Plus, check this out. I can control them from my phone.
Whoa, magic.
There's a better way. Shop Blinds.com for up to 40% off. Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.